Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
Airport.
Are you at the airport?
Are you at the airport? Dan, none of us are at the airport anymore. Apple has discontinued airports. What's the deal with airline food anyway? Where do the planes land now that Apple has discontinued the... Anyway, that was my joke.
I have two words for you. Train station.
I like train stations. Train stations, after I got to say, post-TSA airports have made me really... Like, my mind is blown at train stations. And it's not like there isn't some security at train stations, but there is this feeling you can literally just wander in and step on a train. a train going anywhere. A midnight train, if you will, going anywhere.
Yeah, I've done this. Well, not exactly, but close. Yeah.
Well, you and Guy English have talked about the greatest podcast that will never be made, which is Drunk on the Train.
Drunk on a Train. That's our classic podcast where we get drunk on a train.
On a train and record it.
Someday.
For your amusement.
Someday it'll happen. Yeah, someday it'll happen.
That would be, that should be a great stunt. Is sometime you and Moltz and Guy are together somewhere and you just get on a train and talk about Arrow for an hour.
I don't think the three of us have been in the same place since that podcast started. So
yeah, that's true.
I've seen them individually, but never
they're
the three of us together.
They're both men of mystery, you know?
It's true.
It's hard. You are not a man of mystery. You are...
I'm an open book.
But your compatriots on that podcast are a man of mystery. True. Anyway, Apple killed Airport, which was funny. I actually had this interaction with somebody in a Slack that you and I are both in, where somebody said, wait, didn't that happen a year and a half ago? Why is this news now? And I had to say, well, Mark Gurman reported it a year and a half ago. Apple had no comment. And then today, or yesterday, Apple had a comment, which is, yeah.
Yeah, we did it.
What gave it away? The fact that we haven't updated those products in ages? Well, we stopped making them now, and they will disappear from stores, and goodbye.
I was wondering if part of it was that so they have their mandated list of vintage and obsolete products.
Right.
And I think those tend to be... I wondered if there was some timing thing that they just like, because Gurman's report was that they sort of disbanded the team working on it, right?
Yeah, that was exactly it. That he knew that it was dead because the teams, and I think there are multiple teams working on different airport products, were disbanded. People were moved to other projects, and so how could they keep making them if the people were that probably happens all the time, right? There's this echo period where this product that they created is still current, so we'll still sell it. As a TiVo owner, I've had that happen a couple of times where I've had a TiVo and they've said the people who designed the TiVo you just bought all got laid off, but the company keeps going, and then it sounds like with TiVo anyway. And I don't know what it's like now, but in the old TiVo before they got bought, that's what they would do, is they would design a platform, hardware platform, and then they'd lay most of the team off. And then when it was time for their next generation platform, they would just hire a new team. It's like, okay,
just looking at the spec sheets for them, it looks like the last major update to all of them was almost 5 years ago. So that's part of what made me wonder if they hit some sort of time period where they're like, all right, 5 years is up since we made the last one. We are now admitting that we're never going to make another one.
Which we always are on them about, right? Like, and it is, there's a little like loss of pride or something. Like, they don't want to trumpet them exiting a category, but we always are on them about like the Mac Mini and the Mac Pro, where it's like, is it coming back or not? If it's not, then can you kill it? Although what happens when you kill it then is people are like, but no, I was still using it. Now I can't, I had to rush out and buy one today so that I still have one. And that also is going to happen. But I've made this admission a couple other places, I think, but that last generation of airport hardware, I hated it. They're all weirdly tall.
I never bought one of those.
The time machine that like was like this super tall plastic thing that looked like my joke, which nobody except comic book nerds is going to get, is it looked like the Leader, who is this Marvel villain who is a Hulk villain, and his top of his head was just like super impossibly tall, stretched tall.
Wasn't that a Peter Sarsgaard played him, didn't he? A version of him in the Hulk, the Terrible Hulk movie?
Probably.
The less of the two Terrible Hulk movies?
Probably, yeah. Or was he the Abomination? I don't know.
No, that was Tim Roth.
Okay,
Tim
that's right. That's a lot of Hulk knowledge that you're not. You are an open book, Dan. Anyway, that was the leader hardware rev, and I never had one of those. I had the previous generation, and I still had one of those in service. I actually bought the wire cutters. I mentioned this in my piece on Six Colors today. I bought the wire cutters pick a few years ago for router from Netgear and set it up and decommissioned my Airport Extreme and from the previous generation, the flat kind, like the one that's on your post, the flat kind. And it was terrible. Like it was it had some hardware routing features that were fine, but the Wi-Fi on it was garbage. It was like I couldn't reach it some parts of my house, and it kept like dying. And then I would have to power it on and off, or turn my Wi-Fi on my devices on and off in order to get it to connect. And I ended up putting it in bridge mode, plugging the Airport back in, and just using it and using the Airport for Wi-Fi. And that I did that for quite a while until I finally got through. And this is a disclaimer as well as context. Through the first time that Eero did a sponsorship, they sent me a little Eero package, and I put those in instead, and was still using actually the Netgear router as a router, but not as Wi-Fi. And so when the Eero sponsorship happened, I put those in. And again, disclaimer, they're a sponsor, but that was the closest to like the classic Airport setup that I felt, where it was like you use their app and it's super easy and it actually worked well. And I haven't had any complaints. And I've since switched out my Netgear router for a little tiny Ubiquiti router, which is way nerdier, but gives me some more control and seems more solid. But anyway, the point is, I get why people have some fondness for the Apple stuff, because although I had some bad Airport, the first generation Airport Express, even though it was awesome because it was small and you could plug it into a wall, it was too hot. It ran too hot and they burned out. And
yeah, my friend had one where something like the music output tab just disappeared in the Airport setup app. Like,
yeah,
just disappeared, never came back.
I had
rest
one,
of it worked fine.
I had one that was a zombie where it worked, but you couldn't update the settings. The settings were what they were going to be, and they would never be. Every time you try to do it, it'd be like, yep, rebooting. Well, the old settings are back. And that was just how it was. And you know, if you want to change the name of it, nope. Password, nope. Just can't do it. So, but then again, this other one that I had, like, it still works. It's in a box somewhere, unless I took it. I might have taken it to the electronic recycling, but I had it in a box somewhere. It's just like, well, you know, it still works if I need it. The problem is that the Wi-Fi standards move along, and then and they get old and out of date.
Yeah, I mean, I've been running an Airport Extreme, the 802.11n version, basically for probably 8 years
is that
now.
That's not the leader
version. It's the
last version.
Flat one. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
that's
and the one to clarify, because otherwise we'll get messages about this. Tim Blake Nelson played the character that was the leader in the Hulk movie, and I got him confused with Peter Sarsgaard playing Hector Hammond in the terrible Green Lantern movie, which is also a character with a giant head.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if I've seen
the Terrible Hulk movie. I have seen the terrible Green Lantern movie.
It's the lesser of the Terrible Hulk movies, because the Ang Lee Hulk is just really atrociously awful, and the Edward Norton Hulk is like, it's not great, but it's fine.
I have on an upcoming Incomparable, I've got my Incomparable topic list. I was just messing around with that this morning. I actually threw it all out beyond like 3 weeks from now, and I'm gonna revisit the whole thing. But one of the things on there is Hulk/Incredible Hulk. What went wrong?
Oh dear.
let's just talk about the Hulk. Here's a fun fact that most people don't know, which is my high school girlfriend, her husband is the world's biggest Incredible Hulk fan. And I say that, I think he's been proven that. He, in fact, owned IncredibleHulk.com.
Wow.
And Marvel came to him and said, you know, it's our trademark. And he said, no, it's fine. I love the Hulk. And they were very nice. And I think they gave him a bunch of stuff. And he transferred the domain to them. But we can just talk about the leader and the Abomination, and we can talk about like the new Hulk, because there's a new Hulk, and there's also like the Red Hulk and the She-Hulk, who they now just call another Hulk, because, you know, we don't need to call her She-Hulk. She's just, you know, the Jen Walters Hulk. She's just another Hulk. Or we can talk about Airport. I didn't know that
we could Hulk out.
Yeah, we could. So what's funny about the Airport thing is also that I heard from a bunch of people for whom the answer of there are lots of other great routers out there was not good enough for them because they're using things. Because the thing is, Apple baked in a bunch of stuff. Okay, can I back up for a second? At Macworld Expo in like 2000 or 2001 in New York, or 99, was it? I don't know when it was, but it was one of the
99.
It was 99. They announced the iBook. 99. That's right. 99. 2000 was the Cube. It was 99. They announced the iBook, and that's the video that has been going around the last couple of days of Steve Jobs with like a hula hoop or, you know, a magician's ring, putting it through and going, oh, what's going on here?
Is that where he made Phil Schiller jump off the thing?
That's where he made Phil Schiller jump off the thing. And the idea there was like people didn't really even understand what wireless networking was. And that was an era where Apple had to build the hardware. Like, they had to build the hardware.
Absolutely.
It was esoteric. It didn't all work right. Apple was doing some stuff where they were introducing standards that didn't, a lot of them didn't get picked up. There were other standards that made it, but some of them did. Apple was really pushing. They said, this is great, but for us to make this a great experience for Mac users, we got to build the hardware, not just in the computer, which was an add-on card, which is laughable now, but you had to add an AirPort card.
I had a PowerBook G3 that I bought without wireless, but it had the ability to add that AirPort
under the keyboard
card,
right?
Under the keyboard, so I had to open it up and put in something that kind of looked like a PCMCIA card.
It's basically
and
what
that
it was
because I was in college at the time, and it turned out that my college was piloting a wireless network around certain parts of campus.
Sweet.
This would have been in 2000 as well, and nobody really knew. It wasn't talked about because nobody had the hardware in their computer, but one of our friends was, because he was in the CS department or something, had somehow gotten, you know, like entered into the pilot program. And this was the earliest days, so there was like no security on the wireless network. It was just dependent on nobody knowing what the network name was. And so he gave a bunch of us the network name, and we were like sitting, I remember sitting in the dining hall and like looking stuff up on the web and being like,
mind,
this is amazing.
Blown.
And nobody would look, how can we use this to like freak people out? We just sit here and be playing like video games online or something. What?
Oh yeah,
like it was nuts.
I had my internet came in through a DSL router at that point in the back of the house, and we literally had an Ethernet cable running down our hallway into the living room so that I could plug in the living room and use the internet. So I bought that first silver UFO AirPort. I was on it because I was very excited about that. So that's why Apple got into this business, is that back then they really, you know, if you've ever tried to set up networking hardware from anybody who is an Apple, it's not always, but it can be a disaster because there are, like, I discovered this with the Ubiquiti router where there was a whole layer of its interface that, and I feel like I know some stuff about networking, but it's like, oh my God, this is for IT managers. This is for networking people. It's complicated that they've made, I know networking, consumer networking hardware isn't great, but, they are trying to simplify something that's super complicated. Anyway, Apple had a reason to do it, lots of reasons to do it. And then they kept doing it because they had like some new innovations that they wanted to push forward, and they thought their ease of use was a differentiator. But I think the fact is that there comes a time when something is mature enough that that Apple is not contributing a whole lot that's new. And what happens is there are companies out there whose whole existence is about making great whatever,
right,
in this case,
right,
Wi-Fi stuff. And Apple ends up, you know, Apple stuff ends up not being bad, but also not being great because they don't need to be there. And it's not vital to their business that they be there. They start turning the hardware over every 5 years or whatever. And the standards keep evolving. Like, could Apple have done Eero or one of the other mesh networking things? Yeah. In fact, my understanding is that it's people who used to work at Apple who do Eero.
Both Eero and Amplify seem to have ex-Apple
right?
people.
And you can tell. White plastic.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Easy
oh,
setup.
Yeah.
All of these things, right? So I just think it's just like a phase of life. Like, Apple doesn't need to be in this business. They could be in it. Somebody pointed out to me on Twitter, well, they've got all the money. They could just be, yeah, I know. They could be in it, but like, why? Why do they need to be in it? And are they adding anything really at this point when the competitors are out there doing all the innovation that is necessary? And like, they just don't need that distraction.
They're not making money off it either.
No.
Right? Like, they're not making the kind, that is not a profit generating business.
And they can't differentiate enough to the high margins that they've got on all their products. They can't differentiate that product line enough to make it worth
it. They're squeezed from both sides because they've got these single purpose companies that are doing this, And they've got the fact that you get your cable or DSL or whatever these days, and you mostly get a router built in with it, right? Like, it may not be a good router, but most people don't know, and most people aren't going to replace it. They're just going to take what they were given. So if you're getting squeezed out on the low end by people getting free stuff, and the people who know enough are going to the high end and buying stuff that's more expensive from these other companies, there's not a lot of room left in there. You know, that market is rapidly getting shrunk. So I can totally understand from a business decision why they did it. All my regret comes from a personal decision of having had a router that is basically been bulletproof for me for the last 8 years, and thinking sooner or later that's going to die and I'm going to have to put in something else.
Yeah, or there'll be a security issue, or there'll just be new tech that'll be way better. And
Or I'll move to a place where I actually need like a mesh network. And right now, one airport extreme base station covers my entire apartment with no problems.
Yeah, it's everybody, I think that's what's happening here, is everybody's like, also there's the power of the default, and we talk about this a lot with Apple. Like, why does Apple make iPhone cases? Eventually, it took them a long time to do it, but it's like, Apple can make a lot of money on iPhone cases because you're in the Apple store, you bought an iPhone, and they're like, oh, and we have cases here, and they have some other cases, but the Apple cases are the ones they're going to steer you to, and they're the only ones that can have the Apple logo on it, and all these things. Like, the power of not having to shop for a Wi-Fi router and just take the Apple one, and it's more expensive, but it's going to work and you trust it. Like, that was the reason that the product existed.
Right, but that's exactly how they get squeezed out by the cable companies, right? Same idea. Yeah. You're just going to take what you're given.
It's true. And if you care enough to want something more, the hungrier, more nimble competitors are out there to try and snag all those people. So I think what we're left with, though, is a few of these features that have been hanging out there that Apple introduced that people don't feel that they have a solution for. And there's at least one that I think Apple has just decided isn't relevant anymore, and that's going to be tough for people to replace. But for the most part, the ones that I keep hearing are things that there are alternatives for. And that was the piece that I wrote on Six Colors this morning. While you were writing your piece saying farewell to airport, I was writing the alternatives to airport piece, the great 1-2 punch that we totally didn't come up with in advance. But, and I saw your thing into the CMS, and I was like, oh no, did Dan write the same thing? And I was like, oh no, Dan wrote something totally different. It's great. So the two things that are out there is playing audio out of like an Airport Express. Mm-hmm. And that one, the answer is there are lots of maybe not lots. There are a bunch of AirPlay compatible devices that you plug in, you get them on your network, and you plug them with a mini jack into a set of powered speakers or whatever. And no, they're not from Apple, and they can be a little bit weird, but you can do it. And so if you don't want to buy an Airport Express to do that, you don't have to. And likewise, if you are not too far from that device most of the time, you could also buy a Bluetooth adapter, which they also make. There are various ones out there.
Or, as you pointed out, Bluetooth speakers, or frankly, a HomePod, right? Like, speakers have been solved in a number of other dimensions right now.
But I get if you've got a good pair of speakers and all you really want is, but then again, your Airport Express is going to work for now. But if it dies and you still want to use that good pair of speakers, there are adapters.
Aren't there even receivers with AirPlay? Some point there were AirPlay compatible receivers.
Sure, I'm thinking like powered speakers where all you've got is a plug, and and this would be an option. So I think it's covered. It may not be ideal, but it's covered. And the other big one is Time Capsule, right? Yeah, Apple introduced the Time Capsule. That's why the leader came with his giant forehead, so they could stick a hard drive inside an Airport Extreme base station, or whatever they call it now, Airport Super Giant.
I think it's still the Extreme.
Still Extreme? Is it still Extreme?
Extreme. Well, that's the thing, is there were two. The Time Capsule and the Extreme basically had the exact same form factor, which made little sense when you were considering.
Because there's no hard drive in the Extreme.
There's no hard drives in an Extreme. Yeah.
Yeah, so the Time Capsule had the hard drive in it. And the idea there was you put it on your network, and then you can Time Machine back up to it. Great. Well, okay. So that's gone. But the fact is, at that point, I have two things that I wrote. First is, offsite backup is something you should do. Cloud backup. Get cloud backup. I know it's slower and it's going to take a while. And if you've got bandwidth caps on your home internet, it may take a long while or it may cost you. But like, cloud backup is great because if you're at home or your office, wherever you're backing up, and there's a disaster where your data is lost, your data will also, like a fire or something, your data will also be lost on your time capsule or whatever the replacement is, because it's a local backup. So it's not really, it's a backup, right, but there's a whole class of disasters for which it is not a backup. And a cloud backup gets you out of that. Plus, there's bonus features like, you know, I think you and I both had this experience. When you do a cloud backup, you can like call up an app somewhere else in the world if you forgot to bring a file with you and just pull it out of the backup. Like, yeah. Yeah. It's great. I've done that more than once. But the other thing is NAS, and I know it's scary, but network attached storage devices, they're not super cheap, but there are really good ones. You buy one for like the Wirecutter Pick is like $300, and you put a couple of big hard drives in it, and those aren't too expensive, and you put it somewhere in your house that's on the network. And at that point, you know, most of those NASs support Time Machine, so you can Time Machine backup to it. A lot of them also support connecting to an external cloud backup, so you could actually back them up then to the cloud. Lots of reasons to do something like that. So it's not like there aren't options. When the time capsule came out, there weren't Time Machine compatible devices out there, but there are now. So you have other options.
You don't even need that. I mean, I've written in the past, what I do right now is I essentially use an external hard drive plugged into my Mac Mini server. Ha, the Mac Mini. Sure. We talked about that elsewhere. And they use that Time Machine server to make that a Time Machine backup. However, as of High Sierra, you can do that with any Mac.
Yeah,
you don't even need the server option anymore.
You just check some boxes, right? So if you've got a Mac on your network,
that's there.
If you've got a Mac on your network, you don't need a NAS.
Right, exactly.
And that's what I've got. I've got a Mac Mini with a big RAID on it. They make a NAS version of it, but I don't have that version because I've got the Mac Mini server. But if you don't want to set up a server, that's the thing, is you don't have to. You buy one of these NASs. They are self-contained servers. They are, you know, it is a server and a hard drive bay. And you just buy it and plug in the drives, and then the magic happens, and you have to configure it and stuff. But so there are options, right? And I know that you're leaving the comfort of Apple behind when you do that, but there are options. And the good news is they have been out there for so long that those options are way better and more compatible and easier to set up than it was when they first came out a long time ago. So there are options out there. Now, if you are using, as the one angry person in my Twitter feed was, if you're using the Mini Toslink optical cable out from the Airport Express to do optical audio to some device that's got optical audio in, I think you're kind of out of luck for that. There are lots of other high-end audio solutions out there, including Sonos, and there is a bridge for Sonos from AirPlay if you really need to go that route. There are probably others, but like Apple is done with that. My understanding is like the iMac Pro doesn't even have the Toslink capability anymore in its mini jack.
Toslink was a solution for a certain period of time that was kind of a niche solution that we've now kind of taken an end run around. So,
and depending on your receiver, if you've got a receiver, you can attach an Apple TV to it via HDMI and use AirPlay to the Apple TV, and it will come through the receiver via HDMI, which is not optical, but it's also there. I think Apple TV doesn't have the Toslink optical out either. I mean, they just, it's over. It's just,
I mean,
or does it, you tell does me it have a, yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
does it still, I don't know. Can you tell me about someplace to connect my Token Ring network? That's what I'm really looking for.
I have some Apple talk here that, anyway, I feel for people who have that solution. I think the answer is like, look, if you really love it and you have this esoteric solution that, you know, you love, but Apple is sort of abandoned, I don't have a solution for you beyond going to something else and rebuilding your system some other way, or buy a couple of Airport Expresses and keep them around as backup and just use them until they die and hope that by the time the last one dies, you have moved on to something else. Those are kind of your options there. But for the most part, like, there's a lot of good stuff out there. And I personally look at the Wirecutter Picks for Wi-Fi routers, which are these monstrosities with like 10 antennas sitting out of it. I'm not interested in those.
Yeah. Stealth aircraft. So it's funny that you mentioned using the Netgear Pick, because when my girlfriend first moved into her apartment in DC a few years back, we had to get her. She didn't have any of this stuff, so we had to buy her a router. I went with the Wirecutter Pick. At that time, it was an I want to say an Asus router, and it was their pick, and they were really big on it. I did not like that router. I thought it was incredibly unreliable. It did at some point have a patch where it specifically had issues with iOS devices, like dropping connections. And even after that patch, I found it spotty at best. And I think we eventually just like put it out on the curb when she moved and we're like, yep, take it. So I am a little hesitant. I know they're, you know, I generally trust their reviews and things because they generally are very thorough about them. But for whatever reason, that pick did not work for me. So I agree with you that they're kind of, they're monstrosities. They're ugly.
Yeah.
I know that's not everybody's primary concern, but, you know, past a certain point.
My gut feeling is that, and this is just from my history of being an editor, is that Wirecutter's expert is a networking expert and maybe is a PC guy, maybe is an Android guy. I have a gut, and I don't even know if it's the current one because I haven't done the current one. But usually they keep the same writers on the guides. But my gut feeling, based on your experience and my experience, is that at least in a previous version of this guide, it's the same thing as when we were at Macworld and we were debating picking up PC World articles, where it's like, we could do this. I just experienced this today because I was looking up a Macworld article that Glenn Fleischman wrote about best online backup services, and I discovered that it was redirecting to a PC World article that was posted like 4 months later. And hopefully they will undo this redirect because somebody went in and said, oh, these are the same, not realizing that the new article didn't look at the Mac. So if you're a Mac user and you're reading it, you're like, oh, I hope that it's the same. And usually it's all great if they're all the same, but often they're not the same. And so with the Wi-Fi router story, that was my takeaway, is I bet this is a person who didn't really test this with iOS devices and didn't realize that it has severe problems, because I experienced some of those same iOS. There were some iOS compatibility Wi-Fi problems. Whose fault was it? I don't know. I don't care. Like, some worked and some didn't. Right. And if your tester doesn't test that stuff, then you never know. And that was my experience and I love the Wirecutter, and I linked to all of their stories, but with the Wi-Fi router one, I thought, I don't know if their expert is, I don't know if I'm aligned with them in terms of what their priorities are, because their priorities seem to be, maybe the market is just like this, but like, I don't want a box with six antennas sticking out the top. I'm sorry. I would love for that Wirecutter story. If I was editing that story, one of my things would be like, can we get a pick that isn't butt ugly? Can we do that? Does that exist? And the answer is, I think the mesh routers are generally prettier because they're not trying to blast out on a bunch of different frequencies and cover a wide amount of space. They're trying to spread across. But, you know, if I was in the market for something now, I would not buy one of those, because I've had bad experiences with them and good experiences with the mesh router stuff. And the mesh router stuff is also like not ugly. So right. I don't know. This is the challenge, is that the priorities of a networking expert who is picking the best networking gear for the Wirecutter. Ideally, that expert is also really understanding of the fact that regular people have different priorities than networking experts. Sometimes they don't. Oh, well.
Yeah. One of my hesitancies from switching away, too, is that the advantage of the Extreme from my era was that it had a bunch of Ethernet ports on it, which a lot of the mesh gear doesn't, because I mean, stuff is more and more Wi-Fi enabled, but I ran into a number of like weird edge cases where things worked, I mean, generally either way better on a wired connection, obviously, than a wireless connection, flakiness about the Wi-Fi chips or whatever, or just things that don't, like, I have the, you know, Hue lights, which need a hub, and that hub has to be wired.
Yeah.
And it's like, I got to have someplace to plug it in, which either means getting a switch, which is like, oh, now I've got another box sitting there.
Yeah. Although I'll tell you, I've got a bunch of gigabit switches now. Gigabit switches are now cheap and there's nothing to them. They're literally, there's no configuration. You just plug them in. It's
usually just like, I don't want another box.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Another box that you got to plug in, you know, oh, now I need a different power strip or whatever it is. But that's true. That's absolutely true.
I have too many boxes behind my TV as it is.
Yeah, I've got multiple. Yeah,
My girlfriend looked back there at one point because we were trying to plug something in, and she's like, oh my God, I never want to look behind that TV again.
Yeah.
I was like, I should probably clean up some of those wires, maybe remove a couple old boxes, but oh yeah, it has a way of adding up there. It's like a rat king back there.
Yep. The famous rat's nest of cables. It's true. I've got when I redid my office a little bit and put in this IKEA furniture, I moved a bunch of stuff around, and I ended up with this little square that's got some video game consoles in it. And then it's also got the Hue bridge, and it's got the other smart light switch bridge. And it's right. got a, you know, and there's an Ethernet switch back there, and it attaches to the base station for the wireless security cameras. Yeah.
And if I had a bigger, you know, a place to live, I would spread these around a little bit more, but they just all get consolidated because I've actually limited on number of outlets.
Yeah.
And just like certain things do have to be in proximity because they're connected to other things, right? Like all your set-top boxes need to be near your TV. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, well, right. Or with some of those things, it's like, well, I need this near my lights.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Like, I want this to be where in proximity. Yeah, I have that issue, too. I now have, through years of drilling holes in parts of my house, I do have Ethernet in most of the rooms somewhere. A long chain that, like, starts here in my garage, goes to the living room, and then it goes out from the living room to my son's bedroom and to my bedroom. And so, which backs up on my daughter's bedroom. So if she used something that required a wired connection, she could have one, but she doesn't. So
right.
she doesn't.
Right.
But that does mean that I have the ability to put, like, it's like backhaul. I can put my, an Eero back in the back bedroom and have it connect via Ethernet, so it doesn't actually have to talk to the one that's all the way on the other side of the house, which makes the connection better and faster. You know, it's not required, but it helps, and that does mean that you can theoretically spread stuff around. Although most of, like I said, most of my stuff is in here in the garage, because I kind of like the idea that a lot of this junk is just out here and out of the living space.
Right. If only I had the space.
If you had told me 15 years ago that everybody in the world is going to want, you know, wireless networking devices in their houses with complex, where, you know, they're going to have multiple things connected to their network, and, you know, or 20 years ago, like, and everybody's going to need internet networking at a level of kind of consumer acceptance, I would have said, good luck. Like, that is, and there's some truth in that. If you've ever gotten to the configuration page of a router, like a web page, that it's kind of a nightmare. So what I guess I'm saying is, I think we've come a long way, and further than I thought, because the level of complexity in networking is great in computer networking. And I had, so my internet was out last week. I think we talked about that.
Yeah, I remember it well. The great internet outage of 2018.
Oh yeah. Well, so the guy came from Comcast, and he starts doing all these things that I know aren't the issue. And I said, "Well, I'm pretty sure it's the router, but you can check everything. I did self-wire some of this stuff, you know." And what happens is the cable guy comes, and he's like, "This wasn't wired by me, so therefore it is the problem." And I said, "It's not the problem. If you want to check my wiring and make it awesome, great, but that's not what it is." And so he spent like an hour checking my wiring and replacing things and putting in a box and all these things that are totally unnecessary. But I did have this conversation with a guy where I said, this networking stuff, he said, I've been doing this 20 years or whatever. I said, yeah, this home internet stuff though is really complicated. And he says, he just shakes his head. He's like, yeah, you would not believe it. And I could see, I told him, I write about this stuff. I could see his approach, and his approach was completely valid for most people, which is, let's eliminate the things that it probably is. And I have that Ubiquiti router, and he was like, unplug the router. I want you to connect the Ethernet out of the cable modem directly into your computer. Yep. Because I don't want to spend 2 hours out here and find out that you misconfigured your router.
Sure.
Like, all right. And we did that. And the long story short, he checked all my wiring and did all these things. And then it was exactly what I thought it was, which was something wrong with the router. And he swapped out the router, and then it worked fine. It was simple. Yeah. He could literally have said, let's plug in a new router. There it is. Now it works. Done. And he didn't do that.
No, I mean, that would be my trouble. I've troubleshooted a lot of people's network connections over the years because I get drafted to do that sort of thing. And that's definitely the troubleshooting approach I would do, is like, let's eliminate the variables.
I got him.
And then we can narrow it down.
I got him when he was like, and this worked when I was on the phone before they called out the tech, which was, I got a ping here going to my server that's in, you know, Linode in Dallas, and it comes up and it's there for 30 seconds and then it goes down, and then it comes back up again for like less than 30 seconds and then it goes down and it never comes back until I power cycle the router. And at that point, when you start talking about pings and things like that, they're like, all right, got it. Yeah. Like, this guy knows what he's talking about.
As long as you find someone as long as you're talking to somebody who knows what they're talking about. Cause I've started, like, I remember having this argument. I had a similar argument. I remember in college when we had the cable guy show up cause we had some sort of problem. And I just remember, I think actually we were on the phone with support because we also had a busted router. And this is, again, the super early days, right? This is like 2000. And we're being like, okay, you know, I've done a lot of this. I used to have like a Linux box in our closet that ran like network address translation. So like we knew what we were doing. And we had like a couple of CS majors too. So we had the whole thing apart and we're trying to test it. We're like, all right, we're trying to plug this in and get an IP, right? Just like you did. And we pull it out and it's, of course, I'm using my computer and we're talking to the guy. And it's like, oh, well, you know, it's a Mac, like I don't support Macs, and I kind of roll my eyes at this, like I can tell when my Mac is not getting an IP address, right? Like I'm not an idiot. And so he's like, that's not work, try something else. And I just remember we were talking about like the Linux servers, like, oh no, it's something else. And so we pull out, like, my friend has his laptop, it's running a pre-release version of Windows XP at that point. And we plug that in, we're like, nope, still not getting IP address. Like, oh well, what OS is that running? Windows XP. And there's this pause, and he just goes, that's not even out yet. Like, who are you people? What are you doing? Just plug in a Windows 98 PC. You're like, well, we don't have a convenient one. Sorry. I mean, in previous years, I've had multiple family members where, you know, they use the built-in router given to them by the cable company. And for whatever reason, some of these things are just a piece of crap.
Yeah.
And so I've multiple people had them like turn off all the router functions, you know, turn it just into a straight up gateway or whatever.
Yep.
And just like, all right, I'm buying you $100 Airport Express. I'm going to plug it in. We're going to set up the configuration on it. And then you're never going to touch it. That's what my parents have right now. Like, we have on their Fios line, like, I turned off all the router features on their stupid Fios modem and plugged in an Airport Express. And that's it. Like, the only downside to that is that I think there's some trouble with connectivity and, like, basically if you go as far away as you can get from the router in the house, like, you lose some signal. But some of that maybe, who knows what's in the walls or whatever. And they're, like, the one reason I would be like, okay, maybe I would invest in a mesh system for them at some point because that might help. But, you know, dealing with an airport, like, it minimized the number of times I would have to then be called up and be like, oh, the internet's not working. And I could be like, okay, well, at least I know what I'm dealing with when I'm going over there to troubleshoot this.
Yeah, yeah. So I lament for the cable tech because it's a hard thing and home networks are weird and all of that. But it turned out that mine was fine. But I had that thought of like, yeah, this stuff is hard. This stuff is complicated. Like, I get it. And then more people are putting other, you know, complex
devices
on their networks. And it's a tough thing. And this is the thing that gives me the head full of bees more than anything I do is when the network goes down. And you know what? I've got teenagers. So you know what happens? The internet is not working. isn't back yet. And I'm like,
I've got the consumption,
and
Pa.
I'm already like, why is it not working? And there is nothing worse than me, and I'm like sweating, and there's like the bookshelf there's a bunch of wiring behind my TV in the living room. The bookshelf on one side of it will slide out, and then I can go back there and get access to the cable. So I'm back there, and I'm like, I'm cutting cables, or I'm pulling things out, or I'm running cables and all that, and it's super frustrating because I know everything is broken, everything's terrible, and I got to fix it, and it's my responsibility. And nobody else in the house can do it. I have to do it. Yep. I got us into this mess. I got to get us out of this mess. And then somebody wanders in and goes, is the internet not working yet? And I'm like, gah! And that's when the bees, not the bees. That's a Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got it.
The people should
reference
read that.
Acknowledged.
Thank you. We should read that 538 article this week about the five different kinds of Nicolas Cage movies. It's hilarious. Like, they made a little plot, and it's Rotten Tomato scores on one side and box office on the other side. And then they circle like large areas and say, well, these are the prestige, and these are the crowd pleasers, and these are not the bees. It's great. It's great.
There's a lot of not the bees movies.
Well, and then there's the ones. Then there's the ones who are. There's this one level that's basically like no box office. That it's the direct to video.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Ones that he does, and you know he made a lot of real estate investments in 2006, and he's still paying those off. So what you got to do? Well, what you got to do?
Man's got to work. Man's got to work.
That's right. Mary Cage must do all. So I realized in reading that story that I have listened to Flophouse podcast episodes about Nicolas Cage movies more than I've seen Nicolas Cage movies. It's close, but they've done a lot of Nicolas Cage movies on the Flophouse.
I mean,
so
a lot of them deserve it. He had an era there which he was doing okay, and then like you said, mid 2000s takes a bit of a dip.
Yeah, well. Somebody on Twitter said to me, "You can five categories is not necessary. Just draw a dividing line between when he bought the dinosaur skull before and after." Like, I think that's not entirely true, but it made me laugh.
The post skull movies.
Well, the joke made about Hammer, local celebrity Hammer from Oakland, is that because he filed for bankruptcy at some point, and he's had a bit of a comeback in terms of business things and all that since then. But my joke at the time when he filed for bankruptcy was he should not have built that entire mansion out of chocolate. that was his mistake. And that's just, you know, because rich people, sometimes people get rich and they make bad decisions is what I'm saying.
In the words of one of my favorite animated series, Clone High, I believe there's a line which they said, because I saw the first two-thirds of the MC Hammer Behind the Music, and if there's one thing I learned, it's that the money never runs out.
Yep. That's why you build the mansion out of chocolate in the Oakland Hills. It seemed like a good idea at the time.
Hey,
I mean, who doesn't
not?
Like chocolate?
Everyone. Yeah. No, chocolate's great.
Stop. Hammer time. All right. Well, this was good. Good. Podcasting is therapy. Let all our feelings out. I wanted to mention, by the way, we have a sponsor this week. We don't have a sponsor very many weeks these days because web sponsorships aren't what they used to be. This is not a podcast sponsor, but I'll just mention to people, Power Photos is the Six Color Site sponsor this week. So if people do use Photos for Mac, it is a cool add-on, and there's a 20% discount code, Six Colors. And the links are on the site, and there'll be a post later when the sponsorship post goes live. But I have used that for a few things. They did a iPhoto utility, and now they have a Photos utility. And it does all the stuff that Apple doesn't want you to do, like merge libraries, find duplicates, all sorts of stuff like that. So this is not they didn't actually buy a sponsor read in the secret podcast, because that seems bananas. But I just wanted to mention it.
Know?
I just wanted to mention it since we have a sponsor this week, that if you are intrigued by dealing with your photos libraries and stuff like that, Power Photos is the sponsor this week, so you could check them out. But that's all. Have you seen the Avengers yet?
No, I go tomorrow.
Okay.
Tony and I are going.
Oh, great. Great. Well, no spoilers here, but I saw it last night.
Please.
And I gotta say, as a parent, this is my parent story, so parenting spoilers, I guess. The plan was that we were gonna go see it over the weekend. Maybe, right. And I was probably going to see it on Friday morning, right as we're recording this, actually, which would have been annoying if we were recording it while I was watching a movie.
The people in the movie theater.
So for podcast reasons, because, you know, maybe we'll do a incomparable flash cast about it. Maybe we won't. I'm not making any guarantees. If we can get the people, always the people are like, I can't wait for the incomparable episode about this. And it's like, you know, we don't do all the new release movies because
really
you've
topical
people. You got to get a whole panel together of people who have to take time out of their lives to go see a movie opening weekend. It doesn't always work out, but if it works out, great. But my story is that on Wednesday, Jamie just came to me and she said, we got to go see the Avengers tomorrow night. And I said, why? She said, I want to see it. We have to see it. I want to see it. I want to see it right away. I don't want to wait. And she was talking about like a 10 o'clock showing. It's like, it's a 2.5 hour long movie. It's a school night. And she's like, yeah, but my class in the morning isn't important. Great. and I'm sitting there thinking there are so many reasons not to do this. And I thought, my daughter desperately wants to go with her family to see a superhero movie on opening night. I'm not going to shut this down. So we made it work. She actually left her dance class early. We went to a 7 o'clock showing at a very small theater that's not too far away from us, but it had a better showtime, and they had two showings. It's a 3-screen theater. They had two showings at 7 and 7:15, and I figured there's no way that they're going to sell out both of those showings, even in the small theater. We got there, went to the 7 o'clock, couldn't find 3 seats together. Went into the 7:15, which is an incredibly small theater, but there was nobody in it. I mean, it filled up, but we were there like early enough that we could sit in a good spot in this teeny tiny theater, and so we saw it. So it was just a funny moment where I realized, like, this is, I am always going to try and encourage my children when they have a nerdy impulse. Like, I don't want to be the parent who shuts that stuff down, because I was the kid who sometimes got shut down by my parents, sure, who did not share any of my enthusiasms for this stuff. And so, you know, I wasn't going to do that. So that may be the thing that is most memorable to me about this movie, which I enjoyed, by the way, but it's the fact that my daughter demanded to see it. And now that means also today she's at school, having seen it, having to bite her lip and not talk about her. Is it bite her tongue? I don't know. English is not my first language. That's not true. She can't spoil her friends on it. So she gets to live today with that knowledge, but also like trying not to spoil anyone.
It's the cachet, which too,
is,
right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. It is that. But, and so this is all great. So that's what I'm saying. So enjoy the movie, and maybe we'll talk about it later. Maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. Thanks to everybody out there for listening to this secret podcast. Goodbye. Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.